Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. Amen. Again, we're considering Jehoshaphat tonight, the king of Judah, and we read of him in the 18th chapter of the book, second book of Chronicles. Now, Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he made a marriage alliance with Ahab. This is God's word. Well, politics can make some strange bedfellows, it is said. So you consider a picture like this historical photograph, Roosevelt and Churchill, bedfellows with Stalin, of all people. And ordinarily, of course, they would have nothing to do with Stalin, except that in Yalta in 1945, they shared one common goal: stop the Nazis. But of course, getting into bed with Stalin involved some compromise. And in this case, the United States and Britain had to give each of the Soviet satellite nations a separate vote in the newly formed United Nations, which otherwise they would never have done, because that gave the Soviet Union a bigger voice and more power in the United Nations. But that's what happens when you get into bed with the devil. You will be compromised. So tonight, it's King Jehoshaphat, the great-great-great-grandson of King David and the son of King Asa that we read about last Wednesday. And we read tonight that Jehoshaphat walked in the earlier ways of his father David and not according to the practices of Israel. That's a good thing. He's a good king. And by the way, that statue of Jehoshaphat is in San Lorenzo, Spain. Now, remember that in the reign of Jehoshaphat, the tribes of Israel are now split into two kingdoms, Judah to the south and Israel to the north. In our Lenten series, we are considering only the good, or the mostly good kings of the southern kingdom of Judah. Not a one of the kings in the northern kingdom of Israel is regarded as a good king, because they ruled in rebellion against God and against his laws and against the throne of King David, God's chosen. You might also recall from last week that these two kingdoms were in a perpetual state of Cold War, not unlike the 45 years of Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union. But Judah, being the stronger of the two, was able to hold Israel at bay. Well, here comes Jehoshaphat, the new king, and he has an idea. Because there was also a new king in Israel by the name of Ahab, and he saw an opportunity. Maybe with these new kings in place, maybe these two kingdoms could make love, not war. You know what they say, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And so we read that Jehoshaphat made a marriage alliance with Ahab. And this is how it worked. Jehoshaphat gave his son Jehoram in marriage to Ahab's daughter Adaliah, putting Adaliah in the position of being the future queen of Judah. But that's how you forged alliances in those days, by the marriage of members of the royal family. I guess the theory is that, you know, no king is going to attack the family into which his son or daughter has married, and there will be peace. And so this alliance was made, and after some years, we read tonight, Jehoshaphat went down to Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed an abundance of sheep and oxen for him and for the people who were with him. This royal love feast between Jehoshaphat and Ahab seems to be going very well. Ahab has invited Jehoshaphat to his palace in Samaria, killed the best of his herds for a feast, and it's party time. And Jehoshaphat must be thinking to himself, this is going pretty well. Judah and Israel on friendly terms, and maybe the goal of reuniting the tribes of Israel under the throne of King David was within grasp. So Jehoshaphat is all in on this alliance. And he even went so far as to say, I am as you are, my people are as your people, we will be with you in war. That's hard to hear. Because Jehoshaphat, you see, has been sucked into this alliance naively. Ahab, it turns out, he's not the least bit interested in a long-term peace with Judah or in reuniting the tribes of Israel, at least not under the throne of David. He is using Jehoshaphat to help him in his war against Syria to the north. So you see, Jehoshaphat didn't realize it, but by getting into bed with Ahab, he may as well have made an alliance with the devil himself. I mean, we're talking here about Ahab, whose famously evil wife was none other than Jezebel, whose very name sends shivers up and down the spine. Ahab and Jezebel worshipped idols. They built their places of worship. They were in open rebellion against God, against God's word and his ways. They were the ones who were constantly trying to kill God's prophet Elijah, which made his life so miserable. And it was Ahab and Jezebel who plotted to kill a man named Naboth just to get his vineyard. These people were pure evil. And now Jehoshaphat is in bed with them. And that put Ataliah in line for the throne of Judah and of David. But here's the kicker. While Jehoshaphat is naively thinking to himself, unity under David's throne via this alliance, Ahab is thinking to himself, unity under his throne via murder. And so these two kings with all of their men go off to battle. Ahab disguises himself. We didn't read this tonight. You can read it. He disguises himself as an ordinary soldier, but playing on Jehoshaphat's pride, he tells Jehoshaphat to dress up as the king. He says to him, wear your robes. You be the king. Knowing, of course, that the royal robes on the battlefield would make Jehoshaphat a prime target for the enemy to be killed. With an ally like that, who needs enemies? But that's what happens when you get in bed with the devil. In the end, that plot didn't work. It ended up being that Ahab who was killed. However, the contamination of Judah by marriage, the marriage of Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram and Ahab's daughter Ataliah, was going to have a huge cost. As the prophet said to him, there will be problems now for you. For one thing, Ataliah dragged her husband Jehoram into idolatry. And by the time Jehoram ascended to the throne, he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, the scriptures say. Not the ways of his fathers, but the ways of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done. Judah, under the reign of Jehoram and under the influence of Jezebel, was well on its way to becoming a mirror image of the rebellious, idolatrous Israelites to the north. And after Jehoram died, Ataliah ascended to the throne of David. In an attempt to destroy David's dynasty and to reunite the tribes of Israel under her rule, she tried to kill off every last heir to David's throne, every prince in David's line, and she almost succeeded, but for the intervention of God. As Ataliah was killing off all the rightful heirs to David's throne, God preserved one single boy, one son of David, Joash, about whom we are going to learn next week. But that's how close Ataliah came to destroying David's dynasty completely. But we read in 2 Chronicles that the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David because of the covenant he had made with David. Well, Jehoshaphat then overall was regarded as a good king. He did repent, we read that tonight, for having made this alliance with Ahab. And he, later in his life, he sought the ways of the Lord and to instruct the people in the ways of the Lord. But like every earthly king, he was a big letdown. We need a much better king than that, who will not be lured away, whose only will is to please God, whose only alliance is with his people. We need the son of David, the son of Jehoshaphat, King Jesus. That's the king we need, who was uncompromising in his love for us. He refused to bow down and to worship the devil to gain the kingdoms of this world. He was not deceived by flattery, but taught faithfully the word of God. He went alone to the cross rather than abandon his mission of salvation, whose blood washes away the scarlet stain of each and every time we've gotten into bed with the devil and covers us with his righteousness to make us as white as the driven snow in the forgiveness of sins. Oh, he did so much more than to stand by us when we were faithless. He actually chose us despite our faithlessness and our sins, and then says to us, "You are my people. You are my people." That's the alliance he made. And you know, for Jesus, we, his church, we are strange bedfellows. We are sinful. He is pure. We are of this earth. He is of heaven. We pursue other gods, fascinated by their dubious promises, while he pursued only the will of his Father all the way to the cross to give us the certain promise of salvation. We prove ourselves over and over again to be easily seduced, but Jesus devoted his whole heart to being the sacrifice that atones for our sins and brings us back to him. You know, it's said that politics is the art of compromise, and so is much of life. But unfortunately, we've learned that lesson maybe too well, because we also compromise our souls whenever we get into bed with the devil, holding on to the grudge instead of forgiving it, putting pleasure above worship, rumor-mongering instead of defending, hurting instead of helping, more in love with money and family and leisure than with God. But our King, for him there was no such compromise, no alliance with the devil, no split allegiances. He got into bed with us, his unworthy bride, and went to the cross to be our faithful husband who loves and cherishes us above all. Jesus was all in for you. And for this, we offer King Jesus, son of David, son of Jehoshaphat, we offer him our hearts and our minds, our lives, our wallets, our schedules, all in for him in faith and in worship and in service. Learn well the lesson of King Jehoshaphat, and may God strengthen you to be ever faithful and with wholehearted devotion that does not compromise or make alliances with the devil, but is allied with Christ and him alone. All hail, Lord Jesus, Son of David, Son of Jehoshaphat, our better King, our Savior King. who never lets us down. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.